Welcome back to my watery grave, where we examine the truly horrific and mysterious stories from across the globe at the fine midnight hour. The sea is calm tonight. It's a nice change of pace, really. I'm off the coast of Australia, deciding whether or not this beautiful island deserves further investigation. I think we all know I'm gonna go check it out anyway, so I'll keep you informed of all my findings. I mentioned last week that I was heading to Hong Kong, and it was certainly an interesting visit, so let's talk about that tonight. Hong Kong is an interesting city, full of rich tradition and history, starting as a fishing village and growing into one of the international trade hubs of the world. This village was ruled by the Qing Dynasty as far back as 1644. And then here comes the British with the Opium Wars, and in 1839, China finally getting fed up with all the citizens being addicted to all the opium the British was smuggling in. They put up a blockade around some warehouses full of opium. The Royal Navy, not liking that, decided to make a deal and buy back the opium in the warehouses, just to get mad about it a year later in 1840 and use their ships to blow up China's ships until they were forced to agree in 1842 to owe money to Britain, having to allow Britain to own Hong Kong and other islands in the bay. And to top it off, they're still gonna smuggle literal tons of opium into China. China, standing up to it again in 1856 on the Chinese island of Canton, captured a ship with British registration and throwing its crew in jail. British, not liking that, decided to use its ships to bombard the island and take it over. They were unsuccessful, and in a riot in one of the towns, a French missionary died, along with many European-owned shops being burned down. Now Britain and France are fighting China, who yet again is forced to sign yet another treaty in 1858, which made them pay reparations, legalize the opium trade, importation of cheap labor, and allow missionaries to freely travel. From 1842 on, Hong Kong had been under British control, but the treaty gave it back to the People's Republic of China on July 1, 1997. With the relatively new ownership and transfer of power of Hong Kong back to the PRC, certainly has been interesting. Turbulence has been building, and it might be reaching a breaking point, but you didn't hear that from me. Anyway, enough about history though. Let's get into the story. I got into the outskirts of the island late Thursday night. I could see just a shining metropolis and an otherwise dark sea. The massive skyscrapers were puncturing the black sky and they glowed numerous colors. As I got closer into the bay, I became surrounded by these monoliths. Although it was now past midnight, the city was alive with noises, smells, and life. City lights are not glowing neon of decades past, but blinding LEDs and incandescence. The city itself is an enormous luminous beast, breathing and contorting itself on top of a once green land. Docking the lantern and getting off, I made my way into the monster. Walking around the harbor, seeing all the longshoremen unload their commodities and fresh fish, that brought me back to my old days, before all this madness started happening. It was hard work, but I miss it. I carried on my way deeper into this vibrant city, however, walking around the sidewalk trying to find some food, the brightness that radiated from the city seemed to fade. The light that street lamps and LEDs gave off didn't even reach the ground. It's funny how cities act like the ocean. Bright and beautiful at the top, but as you get lower to the ground, dark and dangerous. I kept on walking, ignoring my thoughts. The nightlife here is something else. You have the standard sex workers and other back alley dealings. An ungodly number of clubs and restaurants serving world-class meals at 2 a.m. with plenty of people to fill the seats. You can find that in most cities around the world, though. But as I walked down the sidewalk, I had that feeling that something was off. I came here on a vacation of sorts. I was on my way through and needed some supplies and figured it would be nice to have someone else cook food for a night. Maybe even sleep in bed that was on stable ground. I did not get either of those things that night, however. I saw a restaurant that fit my liking. Steam pouring out of the front of the shop, and the smell was heavenly. There were only bar seats at the shop, because it was practically just the kitchen. I was about to sit down on that bright red bar stool I saw calling my name, and some unnerving animalistic noise emitted out of a doorway to some apartments. I really should have just forgot about it and walked inside and happily enjoyed my dinner. But that noise, something about it was different and unlike any I'd ever heard. I slowly approached the threshold, ready to defend from whatever was hiding in the dark. I opened the door and found myself in an apartment complex, which was just a large concrete square with an open courtyard in the center. I entered the courtyard and looked up, to only see the black skied square. This could even be a cool place if it wasn't for this still unknown beast in here. I was looking around for what could have made the gurgle. I slowly walked to a far corner and saw a door opened slightly to a bathroom. As I approached the door, the noise grew in volume, and the hair on my neck stood up. It was eating something. I could hear it. I pushed open the door, and to my surprise, there was no monster. It was, as I expected, a mutilated body being eaten, but not by some animal. It was just another person feasting on the body's flesh. Still not a great sight to see, I know, but at least I know what it is. The noises were more unsettling, though. The man eating the corpse slowly stopped, stood, and turned to face me. I was ready for some advance, but I was surprised yet again by what happened. The man addressed me cautiously at first, but seemed more trying to make sure I wasn't going to overreact. He explained that I caught him in an awkward time, and that he'd be happy to explain what he was doing if I had the time to listen. I decided probably best to hear him out, as if I tried to outrun him, I don't know if I could make it to the street before he caught up. He introduced himself as Bingwa, and he worked in the fish market. He said he meant me no harm, and that the man who's dead will not be missed and is a bad person. I don't know why I felt so trusting of this man. I had just heard him snarling and eating another human. But maybe it was the blood-covered white smock and the plain gray sweatshirt underneath. But he just looked the part, and he certainly smelled the part. I decided to step into the room and close the door. Figured no one really needed to see what I had stumbled upon. I leaned against the counter while Bingwa tried to clean off some of the blood from his face and explain what he was and what many others are. See, we're kind of like a discussion group. We have meetings and we make plans and accomplish goals. And we just kind of hang out. I'm actually planning on going to a meeting now if you'd care to join me, he explained. I decided better be safe and ask some questions before willingly go to a place with more man-eaters. But I questioned him on the goal of the group and how it relates back to cannibalism. I also asked if I was going to be eaten at the meeting. Fair questions, I feel, for someone in my position. He laughed and assured me I was safe. You're completely safe. Our goal will be much clearer when you are at the meeting. And we aren't cannibals. We look like humans, and we function exactly like you. Just, we survive off flesh. Elite flesh at that. So don't take offense, but you don't resemble our typical diet, he's told me. I looked down at the still warm, bleeding body a few feet away. He was in a nice suit, or at least it used to be nice. But I looked at myself in the mirror and understood what he meant instantly. Not a lot of pampering being out at sea. Well, that's good, I said. and we both kind of chuckled for a bit. I asked him what the end goal was, and he said that I'd have to join the meeting to find out. I said deal, and just like that I was on my way around Hong Kong with a cannibal to a larger group of man-eaters. And I still hadn't had dinner. Bing Hua, being cleaned up now, was able to leave the bathroom, so we made our way out to the courtyard and out the front door. We walked out and he told me to get in the car down the street. Down the street away from the restaurant. Man, that sucks. I asked him if I could get some food before, and he said don't worry that there'd be food there, and he winked. This man is really laid back considering I just saw him eating a person. He had an average looking car, however, and it was fairly clean. It had some trash in it, but I don't mind. He drove down several roads and started asking me questions. Like why I was in Hong Kong and why I'm stupid enough to get in a car with someone who eats people. I told him I was just overnighting here on my way to Australia, and I document my adventures to an audience. Sounded really interested, he shook his head without even looking over and said, "Well, maybe I'll listen to your story about tonight, if you survived, that is," immediately after breaking into laughter. He's made several jokes implying I might die tonight. Enough to the point where it feels like there might be some sincerity there. "Well, let's hope for the best then," I respond. We rolled up to a stoplight on the way outside of town. The crosswalk noise ran out and several handfuls of people crossed the street. None of them looked well or like they were in any good position in life. Not to the level of being homeless or being in a car with a man-eater, but certainly they were struggling. Bing Hua just stared forward and remarked about how disgusting it is to see people like that. I asked what he meant by that, and as the light turned green, Bing Hua accelerated from the intersection. He said it's bullshit that some people have to live like shit while others don't. We arrived at a building and he parked the car. We got out and headed inside. It was an old apartment building that looked abandoned. We went into one of the rooms, and I was instantly surprised by what I saw. Some of the walls had been knocked down and gotten rid of, and the room extended into several different apartments. There were furniture and lights, but nothing in here was fancy or high-end. The people, who were just as surprised to see me as I was them, were talking amongst themselves and eating. When we entered, however, that quickly changed, as the majority of them fell silent, looking at me. Bing Hua announced, "We have a new member," and people started to go back to their conversations, and a couple saluted me with their drinks. I leaned over and asked Bing Hua if I was okay to be here, and he quickly silenced me and told me that I was fine and to go get snacks and a drink, it would start soon. He didn't have to tell me twice. I looked and saw the small snack table and quickly made my way there. There wasn't an abundance of anything, so I just grabbed a small bag of chips and went and sat down next to Bing Hua. One of the connected rooms was turned into a meeting room with a large table in the center, surrounded by many chairs. Everyone slowly made their way to the seats, and once everyone was settled, the meeting began. I won't bore you with the details of everything talked about, because most of it was individuals talking about their weeks, and who they ate, and what that person was doing. The common thing between all of them, though, was that they all worked a standard job and were just trying to make ends meet, and are frustrated with how little good is being done around them. It seemed that their goal was to make Hong Kong a better place for all by taking out people exploiting the masses. There was something liberating and empowering listening to these people share their hardships and their daily lives, and then talk about putting effort in towards making it better for them and others. Obviously, they achieved their goal in a decently nefarious, maybe even horrific, way, but this group wasn't a threat to anyone, unless you were a government official or board member. They stood up for what they believed, and I can respect that. After all the members had casually shared about their weeks, one person stood up. His name was Zhuzhu. He worked as a server in two different restaurants and oversees the operation we're about to embark on. He started to run through the plan one last time, and Binghua leaned over and whispered, asking me if I was okay accompanying him on this hunt tonight. And just like that, I was about to go on a mission to help someone eat another person. Hong Kong is an interesting city, I'll put it like that. We're going after the assistant commissioner of police. Zhuzhu had learned of his address from one of his jobs by being forced to deliver food to his home. He recognized him and noted how to infiltrate, using his labor for some serious good. After the plan was discussed, those embarking on the trip began to mobilize. Zhuzhu, Binghua, and I left the building and got in Binghua's car. We drove to the higher end of downtown. Beautifully designed buildings extend into the sky. Before we get there, Binghua asks why I'm so fine with all this. And I don't really know, honestly. But I know this group has some serious power to do some good for the citizens. They stand for something good, and I will gladly support people standing up for what's right. And I told him that if I didn't, then he might eat me, and we both laughed as we pulled into the apartment. Far cry from the ones I was just at, though. We all got out and walked to the front door. We each had big paper bags from one of Zhuzhu's restaurants. We were greeted at the door and escorted in and to the elevator. Only the security and residents can use the elevator, as each floor is someone's apartment. The entire floor. That was still considerably bigger than the five connected apartments that we were just at. We headed up the elevator, and as I finally started ascending to the top of the metropolis, I realized that maybe it really is good that the top finally feels what the bottom is like. These mega apartments, with all the privacy, power, and wealth they hold, is still no match for the working class. Everyone has to eat, and when I say everyone, I mean everyone. The elevator dings and the doors open up to a small room with the front door in the middle. I step off into the room and look out the window over the city and bay. How much different it feels up here. We knock on the door and wait. A very sleepy and annoyed man comes to the door, demanding to know what we are doing there at such an ungodly hour. Zhuzhu explains he is here with his food order and starts moving towards the door. He says he didn't order food, especially not at this hour. His persistence was not nearly as strong as Zhuzhu's, however. Before he could protest, we have barged into his apartment. As soon as Bingwang makes it inside, he slams the door and locks it. Furious and confused, the assistant commissioner, realizing that something is wrong, starts to run away, but is much too slow to evade Zhuzhu. Before he could even move away, the food bag was over his head, and he was punched to the ground. They pounced on the squirming assistant and start to duct tape his feet and hands. Binghua swiftly rushes to find anyone else in the apartment inside. Luckily, there wasn't anyone else, and Zhuzhu and I picked up the assistant and threw him on the couch. He screamed out for help, but that was certainly a mistake, because Zhuzhu ripped off the bag and grabbed the assistant commissioner's tongue and bit it off. Whimpering in pain now, Binghua tapes his mouth and smacks him, yelling to be quiet until he stops moving. Zhuzhu asks if he remembers who he is. The man shakes his head no, and the look of terror on his face was something to behold. He explains how they know each other, and then he fills him in on their plans to eat him alive. The assistant starts to squirm away again, but there is nowhere to go. Binghua starts to explain the reason for his rather harsh punishment. Police brutality has been out of control, and you've promoted the use of excessive force against non-violent citizens. You live well, while everyone else below you will suffers because of you. So we are taking the suffering out of the equation by taking you out. You're a corrupt piece of shit, and good riddance. And before he even had a second to respond, the man-eaters were at work. Seeing a second person being eaten by those creatures somehow didn't lessen my appetite. While they were doing that, I decided I am going to make myself dinner here. Sadly, however, it did not seem the assistant commissioner made food that often here, as his pantry is nearly empty, and so I settled for more snacks. After several minutes, both parties were done eating. Most of the now dead assistant is gone, and I'm quite impressed by the two. I asked what they are going to do with the rest of it and all the evidence. They say they aren't too concerned. If they are caught somehow, they can always just convert more people to their beliefs in prison, and then just break out. They went and made sure that they were clean, and then we headed down the elevator. Opening to several security guards, I was sure that this was not going to end well. But to my pleasant surprise, one final time tonight, we were escorted out and we were on our way, completely free and clear. I guess the apartments really do value privacy. As we arrived back to the older apartments, the rest of the group were waiting to hear how it went. Everyone celebrated the success and were back to the happy conversations they were before the meeting. It was certainly getting late, and I needed to get back to my ship. This was an interesting adventure I found myself in. Bingwall walked me out to his car, but I told him I'd walk because it wasn't too far away and I wanted to enjoy the scenery one last time. He thanked me for my help, and we said goodbye and parted ways. I don't know if I'll ever see Bingwall or anyone from there again, but I do know that there's a change for good, and they aren't going to be stopped. I thought of the changes that might come from this group on my way to the docks. Such a beautiful city. If it had beautiful people in control, maybe this place would be a great place. You can feel that spirit and sentiment amongst a lot of people. It will be interesting to see what becomes of this city. I walk back through the fish market, which is just as busy as ever, with restaurant pickers picking the freshest catches. I check the time, and all I can think about is my bed. I board my ship and I set off, full of supplies and ready to explore new mysteries for another day. As I leave the bay and the city lights behind, I take one last look at the metropolis and fall asleep. And with the end of that story comes the end of tonight's show. Look at the people around you. They may not be exactly as they seem, but look out for one another. It's only together that we can accomplish greatness. I hope you all can feel the sea's gentle rocking tonight, and it helps you lull to sleep. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Stay vigilant. There are dark forces among us.